Good morning. Good morning. Thanks, Pastor Ted, and thank you, Pastor Douglas, for inviting us to be with you this morning, worship Jesus. Feel a little bit overwhelmed because the Kidwells were our mentors, too, so here I am preaching before them. But what matters is this is God's word, right? Oh, you guys have been so grace-filled and generous, welcoming us back to the U.S. after being in France for the last 5 years. So we want to thank you. We really are blessed by all of you, and we appreciate this community. So thank you for your continued support and prayers for us as we stay here this year and return back to France next July. So as I start visiting churches in America, one question that people have in their mind, but I think they're a little bit ashamed to ask me directly, is, do missionaries really need to go to France? There's different reasons for their doubt. Today's passage, we're going to look at the heart of Jesus, and that he shows us that he wants to send missionaries to places like France, even if they eat fresh croissant and drink coffee in the shop on the corner. But before we begin, I want to give you a little warning, okay? At the end, I'm going to invite you to take a step of faith, to respond to what God is calling you to do or to be. Are you ready? Are you sure? Okay. So, if you have your Bibles, and we have it on the screen here too, Matthew 28, we're going to look at verses 16 to 20. And as I read this passage for you, and as you read along with me, I have an assignment for you. Look how many times the word all shows up. Now, depending on your translation, some of them are hidden. If you have the Chinese translation, most of them are hidden. But it's okay. We'll discover them together, all right? So let's start in verse 16. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So how many alls are there? Did you count? Two, three. Okay, there's four. The last one's a little bit hidden, you'll see. But today we want to focus on these four alls because they reveal to us how Jesus wants to live the rest of our moments here on earth. So traditionally, you know this passage as what? The Great Commission, right? So I know without a doubt that SJCIC is a missions-hearted church, and I appreciate that. But in 2018, Barna did some research, and they discovered that only 17% of churchgoers know what the Great Commission actually means. Only 17%. So we're going to take just a couple minutes to make sure that we're all part of that 17%. All right? So look at verses 19 to 20. What is the primary action that Jesus is telling his disciples to do? In English, the first verb is go, but it's not the primary action. In fact, a better translation of that word go is as you are going. Okay? So what Jesus is saying is, as you are going, as you are working, living, playing, eating, make disciples of all nations. So the main primary action of this passage is to make disciples of all nations. So in short, this is the meaning of the Great Commission. To whom was this sacred mission given? We read the 11 disciples, but not just to them, but not just to pastors and evangelists and missionaries, but to each of us, all of us who are following Jesus. You following me so far? Pretty simple, right? But extremely important, because these were the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended. So here's the test. If someone came up to you and asked, hey, what's the Great Commission mean? What would be a simple, short answer? Let's say it together. To make disciples of all nations. Hey, congratulations. You're part of the very few who know what the Great Commission means. All right, good job. Impressive. All right, so let's look at these four alls with me, okay? So the first one we're going to look at is in verse 19, all nations. Or another way to translate this is make disciples of all people groups, all ethnic groups. Some Bible experts debate on what people groups actually mean, but that's not what's important this morning for us anyway. What we want to do, embrace, is God's heart, Jesus' heart. Okay? And Jesus, he does not want anyone to be denied the opportunity to enter his kingdom. Go back one slide. He wants everyone to have equal access to the gospel. The problem is, in our world today, only about 4,000, there are about 4,000 people groups that have little or very limited access to the gospel. Equal access to the gospel does not exist in all of the world today. One way to describe this, sorry, I'm having trouble with the slides here. One way to describe this global gospel access challenge is to answer this question. How many doors does a person have to knock on before he finds someone, or she finds someone to tell them about Jesus? Well, in the green areas, you see on the map, there are people groups that have to knock on 6 doors before they find someone. That's not bad, but we have to continue to sustain and multiply gospel access in those areas. We need to keep going. Now, in the yellow areas, you have people groups that have, there's people have to knock on up to 500 doors before they find someone who can tell them about Jesus. Not a lot of gospel access. It's hard to find believers, and there are very few churches in those people groups. So they say less than 2% typically in these groups. In the red areas, you have to knock on 30,000 doors if you don't get put in prison first, in some places in the country, before you find someone who can tell you about Jesus. So the Alliance is pretty committed to these yellow and red areas, these hard-to-reach, limited gospel access parts of the world. I'm just going to signal, and then you can click for me. Does that work better? Because this is not working. I'll just pretend. Okay? Does that work like that? If we have to go back, I'll just go like this. Okay. So France is in the yellow areas. Okay? So the difficult, unreached, limited gospel access place. So the population is about 67 million people. They say 1% of the population actually follow Jesus. Some of them even say 0.5%. So you have to knock on roughly 200 doors before you find someone. Hard to find a believer. Churches are significant gospel access points, but not many in France. There's probably, let's see the stat, one church for every 30,000 people. So there's probably about 2,500 evangelical churches in the nation of France. Hard to find a community of believers that you can participate and worship Jesus with. And did you know it's easier to find a spiritual medium than it is to find a Christian pastor in France? about 100,000 spiritual healers or mediums and a little bit over 2,000 evangelical pastors in the nation of France. So those are just some few stats. So do we need missionaries sent to France? Yes. Yeah, you bet. On top of it, if you look at France, it has such an influence in not only the European nations, but also in places where French is spoken, like in Africa. So if you think about it, imagine the potential kingdom impact all of France could have if they all had Jesus. What kind of impact that they can make in all the world today. It's exciting to think about. So let's look at the second all. Let's move on a little bit. Verse 19 and 20, Jesus tells us how to make disciples. Number one, baptize them. Number two, teach them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. So you and I make disciples by being a doorway for people and what they need for the journey with Jesus. People need to be planted and rooted in God's love, number one. Number two, they need guidance in the sacred, beautiful mission of making disciples of all nations. This is why the Alliance has three strategic themes. Number one is to serve and love people in practical ways, leading them before the King Jesus. And number two, plant and multiply churches throughout the world. And the third one is developing people. So evangelism and church planting are extremely important in missions. Developing people is often overlooked. But developing people is like a foundation that seeks to sustain and multiply evangelism and church planting around the world. So the Alliance has focused on sending missionaries around the world to develop people, to walk with others, to see the gospel, number one, transform them as a whole person, and number two, to deepen a love and passion for Jesus in them. As a result, what happens is these disciples of Jesus become even more effective in creating, sustaining, and multiplying gospel access around the world, wherever God puts them. So one area that we've been involved in developing people, has been soul care. So during the last 5 years in Paris, most of our time was developing them, these young French leaders, worship leaders, Sunday school teachers, evangelists, and soul care. So during this journey that we call life, sometimes we pick up stuff that negatively influences, impacts our relationship with God. And as a result, sadly, we can even become a roadblock, a gospel roadblock for others. As leaders in the church, our souls need to be healthy so that we can then make healthy disciples, plant healthy churches. And the truth is, we need the healing touch of Jesus. So through these soul care retreats and about 6 to 9 months of follow-up mentoring with these young leaders, about 100 young French leaders lived out biblical principles that would profoundly touch them in deep ways through the power and presence of God, and led them into a deeper relationship with him. Like Natasha and Alex, along the way, many of the leaders were totally transformed. The power and presence of God led them into freedom and transformation like they had never experienced before. And now, they are off doing this with others around them. They're finding people to walk with and invest in their lives and them in their lives so that they can see God transform them also. Go back to that black side. There you go. So developing leaders in France is extremely important to this mission. And it's been an amazing gift for us to walk with these young leaders and to watch God transform these young people. However, I have to confess something to you. Sometimes this sacred and beautiful mission of making disciples of all nations is really overwhelming. I mean, when I look at things and situations and people with human eyes, it looks impossible. Especially during this current world situation, there's so much pain, so much suffering, so much brokenness. See, I've discovered if our perspective is not secure and strong and solid in who Jesus is and what this mission is really about, then we're going to be consumed and overwhelmed with fear and doubt. And then we want to quit. In verse 17, before Jesus gave the Great Commission, we read that when his disciples saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. By the way, here's a fifth unspoken all. It's a not all. Not all disciples were on the same page with Jesus. It's not clear why or what they doubted. When we look at some of their past discussions with Jesus, we do know that some of them had their own idea, perception of what the Messiah is, who he is, what he should do, and what this kingdom of God should be like. I think their doubt was rooted in that they had trouble with their perspective of seeing beyond themselves. They made the kingdom of God too much about me and not all about Jesus and others. To be honest, I don't know about you, but I find myself in that same situation, making it too much about Brett. But you know what? We discovered that Jesus was still with his disciples, even in their doubt and in their fear. And today, Jesus is the same. He is with us completely, even in our doubt, even in our fear. The next two alls, Jesus gives us two keys that help us to overcome doubt and fear in this mission. The first one is in verse 18. Before Jesus told the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The enemy doesn't want us to believe this next truth that I want to share with you. The truth is, you cannot fail in this mission because you carry our King's credentials. God has raised you and I up with Jesus. Right now, this very minute, we are seated with the King of Kings in the heavenly realms. Now, you possess all his authority. And in fact, this is a real mystery to me. I don't know how it works, honestly. But if we hold on to this truth and live in it, then your life will never be the same. I didn't say easy, because even Jesus did not promise that it will be an easy life. But transformation will happen, and you will see transformation happen around you to the ends of the earth. See, the sacred mission is not so much about our skill, our knowledge, our abilities, and our status that we have, but it's how great Jesus is. That's the truth. The second key to overcoming doubt and fear is in verse 20. So after Jesus gives this sacred mission to his disciples, he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So here Jesus is saying what? Saying, "Hey, look at me. Don't take your eyes off of me ever. Pay attention to me, because my power and my presence is with you 24/7, wherever you go. I am all you need. So it's like two bookends, these two promises and these two truths that we read. They're holding us up. Jesus is holding us up in this mission. We have all of him, all authority, all power, all his presence, all the time. See, friends, if you want to see God show up in your life, then take a risk. Honestly, engage in this sacred mission in a way that you have no other choice than to trust God that he will reveal his power and presence and see Jesus work miracles. You know, sometimes the worst enemy, the biggest obstacle, is ourself. We make this story and this great mission too much about who we are and who we're not. And you know what? That eliminates faith. It squashes it. And you know what? Then we can complain. Then we can start complaining and ask, God, where are you? But if we surrender all of ourselves to Jesus and make it all about Jesus, then things will change. Again, not be easy, but things will change because all of Jesus will be revealed in all of us. Claire is a quiet and reserved young lady. But when she walks into the room, she brings joy, a deep joy. But that hasn't always been true for Claire. Claire accepted Christ when she was quite young. When she was about 12 years old, her father walked out on her and her family and left France. For many years, the poison of unforgiveness ate away at her soul. She was full of bitterness and anger toward her father for what he did. Furthermore, Claire had been, unfortunately, wrongly taught that forgiveness means to forget. And there's no way that Claire could forget. Plus, people in the church shamed her for what her father had done. The pain was deeper, stronger than she realized or even wanted to admit. Is there any hope? 5 years ago, we met Claire at a soul care retreat, and she participated in a mentoring group. She was a leader in the church at the time, but she had a hunger, deep hunger for more of God. As she processed and lived out these principles of soul care, she personally experienced God's forgiveness in a powerful, profound way like she had never before experienced. As hard as it was, she forgave her father in her heart, and God transformed her. She received a joy and a forgiveness like never before. The change in Claire was pretty dramatic, so dramatic that her mom was wondering what was happening to her. And so she wanted Claire to help her understand and live out these principles. And then one day it happened. Claire's father came back to France. But he didn't come back to see Claire. He came back for money. Can you imagine how she felt? But she wanted to meet her dad. Why? Because she wanted to forgive him face to face. And she did. That's exactly what she did. She wanted to release the debt that he had because of what he'd done. And that's exactly what she did. And she also had the opportunity to share with him about who Jesus is. And we're still praying that one day he gives his life to Jesus. Today, wherever Claire goes and whatever she does, she brings joy. And people see Jesus. Recently, Claire just quit her comfortable, nice-paying job so that she could use her skills and experience to help a mission organization to send missionaries into those hard, difficult-to-reach people groups. Claire gave all of herself to Jesus. And the authority and power and presence of Jesus is revealed through her. This morning, God is waiting for you to partner with him, to make disciples of all nations in a way that is beyond what you can think of or even imagine. And you know what? He's excited about it. Maybe it's to pray more deeply, consistently for a people group. Maybe it's to give beyond your financial situation. Maybe it's even to go into one of those yellow or red regions. Maybe you just have no idea. But he's calling you this morning. But you have some doubt and fear. But remember that Jesus has given all that you need. He has given all of himself to you. And he will always do his part. He is 100% faithful. So now's the time. The question is, will you surrender, all of you, to Jesus? Because that's the most important and first step. Don't make the sacred, amazing, beautiful mission about yourself. Make it about all of Jesus for all the world. Today, together, let's surrender. There's no better time than now. This morning, let's pray together. I want to pray for you, as maybe some of you will take that step. Let's pray. For those of you who want to take a step of faith and you don't know what that is, or maybe you do, I just ask you to just open your hands as just an expression that you want to give all to Jesus. Tell Jesus that what your fear and doubt is and release it to him. Simply saying, I'm sorry, I've been making this all about me and not about you. And simply say to him, Jesus, I trust you. I give you all my life. And with your authority and your power, in your presence, I will take a step. Father, your children have given all to you so that all of Jesus will go into all the world. And so I ask that you would, out of your glorious riches, that you would strengthen your sons and daughters. Fill them, their souls, with the power of your Spirit, so that through faith, Jesus will reside deeply in their hearts. Father, may your fullness flood them. May your love consume them. And as a result, may all the world know all of Jesus through all of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's not rush out of this place. You may just want to keep your eyes closed or your hands open. We have a little bit of time to respond to the Lord's invitation. And I want to be really honest with you. The greatest struggle in my life, even after following Jesus wholeheartedly for the last 25, 30 years, is this last part, last invitation. All of me. It's hard. I'm not sure even after all these years that I've given myself fully to the Lord. There are times that I feel like I'm still holding back. And I'm not sure if there is ever a moment in our life where we can say that I've given all of myself, 100% of my life to the Lord. I really do not believe that's what the Lord is asking us today. I said this before, and I say it again today. Giving all of ourselves to Jesus actually begins with just taking one little step towards this invitation. Just one more step. That's how we get there. That's how we give ourselves to the Lord fully. And it's going to take our lifetime. I can guarantee you. So this morning, before you leave this place, I think this is really what the Lord is asking us. He's not asking all of us to sell our possessions and go to France or go to those red areas. But think about what the Lord is really inviting us into. I want to add, if I can, Brett, I want to add one more all. To see this great commission fulfilled, all of Jesus for all the world will take another all, and that is all of us. It's not just the missionaries that we send out. It's not just Brett and Celine or Chris and Grace or just a few pastors or those people serve on the mission council. It's going to take all of us. That's the only way. And I think that's the Father's desire. You know, one thing that I've struggled in my walk with the Lord is that He can really accomplish everything with the snap of His finger if He wanted to. But He hasn't. And that's because what He's building here is a family. It's not an organization. It's not a movement. He wants all of us to participate and be a part of this mission of His Son, Jesus. So He's been waiting. And that's the invitation for all of us today. That will all of us say yes to this next invitation? For some, it's, if you never given to the work of the missions, it's even just giving a little. That's a start. That's the invitation. If you've never served in any of our outreach ministries, your next step is to enlist yourself. If you speak English, if you have a little bit of time to spare for some of these students in our local high schools and junior high schools, middle schools, elementary schools. For some of you, you've never prayed for another nation. Maybe this is your next step. You just really begin to pray for a nation that God puts on your heart. For some of us, we've never prayed with our coworkers. Maybe your next step is to begin a prayer meeting or Bible study in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Whatever it is, giving all of ourselves to Jesus actually begins with just being willing to take that one more step towards where God is inviting us. So I want to end with that invitation today. This morning, you'll have a chance to make your faith pledge once again. You know, I don't want you to feel pressured or obligated to do this, but if this is your desire, whatever you want to participate, you know, whatever that next step is for you, I want you to respond to the Lord. But there are so many other ways that we can be part of this mission that God has called us. And once again, I want to remind you, it's going to take every single one of us to fulfill that. So I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I don't know what God is saying, what assignment He's laying on your heart for the next season, but if that is your desire, that Lord, I'm not sure if I'm ready to sell my house and move away to these places, but Lord, I'm willing to take that next step. Whatever it is that You're revealing to me, I want to say yes to Your assignment. I want you to just stand from where you are, and then I want us to spend some time responding to this invitation, and I'll send you out with His blessing. So if that's your heart, you're willing to take that next step, stand from where you are. And again, if you're not ready, it's perfectly fine. Don't feel pressure that you have to respond. But if God is speaking to you, if God is giving you that desire, let's keep our hands open before the Lord. Father, I thank you for your invitation. Father, we thank you for your patience. Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives. That even though we sing to you every day, that we give all of our lives to you, Lord, we know how difficult, how challenging that is. Lord, today, we take one more step towards your invitation. Whether that is serving you in this local community or engaging with greater capacity with your work globally all around the world. Whatever it is, Lord, we say yes to your invitation. Father, we pray for the gift of faith in the coming days that as we launch into this next season, Lord, that Father, we want to see San Jose Christian Alliance Church be a significant part of fulfilling this mission, which you can complete in any given moment. So, Lord, we consider this as a great privilege from you. Father, continue to speak to us. Continue to challenge our hearts. Continue to motivate and inspire us, Lord, so that the fame and the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, will be proclaimed throughout every corner, throughout every nation, every people group, Lord. Begin that work with us here in San Jose, in this corner of Tully and McLaughlin, until you return the fullness of your glory. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. This is the conclusion of our mission conference, but our mission begins here and now. So come and talk to some of our ESL teams and feel free to say hi to Chris and Grace, Brett and Celine upstairs. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. God bless you.